Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, and we're in the end, toward the end of chapter 23. For those of you who are just listening in and have not been following us in the study of the book of Matthew, may I say that we're down to the last week of our Lord's message, our Lord's ministry among men. And in this chapter 23, we have where our Lord is pronouncing the woes upon the religious leaders of the day. And I was pointing out in preceding lessons that when our Lord started his ministry, as given to us, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, where we have the inaugural address of the king, he gives to us 9 blessings concerning those who are in the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, you know them. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. Now, the last two of those blessings are given to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who suffer for Christ's sake. Now, when we come to the end of his ministry, we find that he pronounces 8 woes upon the religious leaders of the day. And as you follow them through, you'll notice especially that there's a parallel running through every one of them. First of all, he accuses them of being hypocrites. And then he takes an aspect of their hypocrisy, one after the other. And I couldn't help, as I went along with this, to try and present it so that you realize that there are those today. If our Lord had them in his day, certainly we have them today. But on the other hand, please do not be too free and too quick to accuse anybody of being a hypocrite. Our Lord knew the motives of these men. In fact, if you had been there in our Lord's day, you would have looked upon the Pharisees as a wonderful group of men. Religious-wise, outwardly they were full of religion. They seemed to give their whole lives over to the things of God. They were in the temple, or they went down the street with their gowns on, with their phylacteries and their little boxes of prayers, and they're saying long prayers and throwing their money down to be seen of men. This is the key. Everything they did was to be seen of men. One is reminded of the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 when he prayed, "I thank thee, O Lord, I am not like other men. I'm not like other men. This is what I do. I pray so often and I fast so often and I give tithes of all I possess. I'm not like these sinners over here. No, sir, I'm a different man. I'm religious. I'm tops," as far as he was concerned. Everything was for show. Everything was for show. That's why, in the last one we had in verses 27, 28 of this chapter, Jesus said, "You're just like tombs, whited sepulchres, like in a graveyard where you have the tombs and the building is built. It looks beautiful. But inward, inside, full of bones and uncleanness and dust." And Jesus said, "That's just what you fellows are like." And yet, though his very righteousness demands that he judge them, I still maintain there was a real place in his heart. He was sad. Can I use that word? He was sad. He didn't pronounce judgment with great delight. He did pronounce judgment and was very incisive in what he said. But nevertheless, there's a sadness here because they knew the truth. They had heard the truth. They had seen his miracles. They had observed his person, and they cast him out. I tell you again, my friend, unbelief, I don't care how religious you are, unbelief is a terrible thing. And you can't fool God. You can't fool God. He knows whether you're really trusting him or not. He knows whether you have put your trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. You can't fool God. You may belong to a church. You may have membership. You may have been baptized. You may take communion. You may do all these things, 10 priming, everything else, and yet not be real in your heart before God. I just trust, my friend, that the reality of your faith before God is that upon which he will look. In other words, are you real in your faith toward God? Or is it just something you say? May God grant that you meant business. I'm not saying how much you know. I'm not saved by my knowledge. I'm saved by receiving Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior. I'm trusting Him that His work on the cross, in death and in resurrection, not only has perfectly satisfied God, but it can perfectly satisfy you and me. I want this very clear. Now we come to the last wall. In verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, and you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. That is, you make them look beautiful, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, or you snakes in the grass, you vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? My, what a statement. Listen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, because you build the tombs of the prophets, and you garnish, you try to make beautiful the sepulchres, the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had lived when our fathers believed, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We would not have done what our fathers did. So Jesus said, wherefore be you witnesses unto yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, you're just like your fathers. You say, in a kind of a religious way, I wouldn't have done what my father did. He persecuted the prophets. He killed the prophets. And these tombs of the prophets, we garnish them, we make them look beautiful, we make believe we stand by the prophets instead of by our fathers. And the Lord Jesus tears off the mask and He says, you're just like your fathers. Just like your fathers. Your hearts are no different to your fathers. They persecuted the prophets, they killed and they stoned them, and you would have done just the same thing. In fact, your own hearts now are full of the same spirit of your father, because you would kill me. For you remember the sought means and ways, how they not, first of all, might trap him, and then how they might kill him, but the fear of the people. Then our Lord says, you fill up then the measure of your fathers. You're not only like your fathers, but you're motivated by the same spirit of your fathers. You snakes, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation, the judgment of hell? Now, may I just say here, this is a terrible, terrible judgment our Lord pronounced on these men. But don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you take the place of a judge. Even though there are those today who may be hypocrites, but you might be making a mistake. Don't you judge men. You can't judge their motives. You can't see their hearts. You judge by what you see. You judge by what you hear. The Lord went beyond that. As I said a while ago, these folks, these leaders, deceived the people. The people thought they were all right. But Jesus went right down the line with them. He just pulled the mask off. And He showed them to be what they were, just like their fathers. What their fathers did, that's what they would do. So He pronounced them, you snakes, you generation of vipers, how can you escape? There is no escape. Escape is impossible for those who have heard the truth, known the truth, and despised it, rejected it. I'm not talking about those in countries who have never heard the gospel. I'm talking about here in America. Here in this wonderful Pacific Northwest, He's talking to those who have heard the truth, who had no excuse for rejecting the Savior, and having spurned the Savior, deliberately spurned Him, wanted nothing of the Savior, nothing of the Word of God, then there's nothing left. The alternative is the judgment of hell. This is what Jesus said. And remember that Jesus is the personification of love, of compassion, of tenderness, of mercy. And yet his indictment of this group, his judgment of these Pharisees, is terrific. But please don't you take his place. And don't get on the jury. You can't, I repeat it, you can't judge the motives of men. You don't know what's in their heart, so be careful about judging, even be careful about criticizing. However, I must say, because there are today a great many like they were in our Lord's day, who made great professions, an outward profession of being Christians, of being religious, of being church members, and so on, but have no place for Christ. There are religious leaders today, as they were in our Lord's day, who know the truth intellectually, have spurned it, have thrown it overboard, and they're going to come under the judgment of God. And as Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now he goes on to say, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you shall kill and crucify. Some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, which would be in Genesis chapter 4, unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. I say, what a judgment. In fact, he prophesies that they have just said, we will not do what our fathers did. He said, you're just like your fathers. You're a generation of vipers, you're serpents, you're snakes in the grass. You'll never escape the judgment of hell. Why? Because I send unto you prophets, I send unto you wise men, I send unto you scribes. Some of them you're going to kill and crucify. Some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues, and you'll persecute them from one city to another. This is exactly what they did. They crucified the Lord of glory. They stoned Stephen. James was beheaded. The saints of God were scattered. Many were persecuted from one city to another, that upon you may come all the righteous blood, all those who have been martyred from Abel right down to the present time. You fill up the terrible sins of your fathers, that upon you, notice that verse, verse 36, all these things shall come upon this generation. And my friend, it did. I'm just quoting history. This is exactly what they did. So all their speaking, all their outward show meant for nothing. And hence I say, in the eight woes, it ends up by the Lord saying, you're snakes in the grass, you're a bunch of vipers. How in the world can you escape the judgment of hell? The very righteous character of God demands this. May I make it personal? May I make it national? When a person has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and spurns it, there's nothing left but lawlessness, which ends in judgment. When a nation that has heard the word of God, like America, and is turning away from the word of God, there's nothing left but judgment. Now I thank God for what is happening today. I rejoice in the number of young people are coming to know the Savior. I believe the Spirit of God is moving in many, many parts of our society. Don't you be too quick to judge now. Don't you limit the Spirit of God and the grace of God in reaching precious hearts. When I think of the bewildered kids all over the country, and all they need is a Savior, you pray for them. Now, let me come to a verse, verse 37. Listen to what he says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, I leave your house unto you desolate. I said a while ago, even in all the great indictment of our Lord upon these leaders, there's a heart here that's sad. And when he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he's talking about the whole nation. And he's especially talking about these leaders of the nation. Because as the leaders go, the nation goes. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You can just see this. He's pronounced 8 judgments, 8 woes upon these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these scribes and Pharisees, these conservatives of the day. And yet, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. You that killed the prophets, you that stoned them which were sent unto you, you who opposed every testimony from God, I would have gathered you just as a mother hen gathers her wee babes under her wings, and you would not. This is the tragedy. This is the heartbreaker. You would not. It isn't that they couldn't. They wouldn't. May I remind you of John chapter 5, starting in about verse 39 in there, where our Lord said, "You do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." I repeat it, it is not that they couldn't come. They wouldn't come. Am I talking to some today who have heard the gospel all your lifetime? It may be even now you're a church member. You may even be teaching a Sunday school class. And the Lord has pled with your heart for you to give your life over to Him, to put your eternal soul in His hands, for cleansing, for forgiveness, for a new life, to be covered with the righteousness of Christ. And everyone I'm talking to can become a child of God. Are you going to be like these leaders, like Israel? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've persecuted my people. And yet, even now, I would like to gather you as a mother gathers her babes to herself." But you wouldn't. God forbid that any one of you shall say to God, "I won't, I don't want you." Oh, I know you wouldn't use those words, but you spurn Him. It may be you're indifferent to Him. It may be you're saying, "Well, one of these days I'll accept the Savior, but not right now." My friend, listen. The Word of God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Is it going to be said of you, "I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not"? God forbid. May the Lord grant that, even in this passage where we've been dealing with the woes, and the indictment of God upon empty religionists, for that's what they are, empty religionists. God grant we may learn the lesson, be real in our relationship to the living God by faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. This is why He came, to make it possible that you can come into the very presence of God and be made one with Him. Now may the Lord make it real, and may the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.